Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt of love to one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual or immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. This is the word of God.
So let's pray together for a moment. Oh, Lord, I'm just asking today that you bless us with your Holy Spirit today. That these words that you've given me to speak, oh God, that they may land where they need to land and have the effect that you desire for them to have. We praise you this day, and we belong to you in your name. Amen. So when I was growing up, one little bone of contention between my dad and I had to do with wearing clothes, you know, how I would dress. You know, this was in the 70s, you know, and there was all kinds of the youth culture and the pop culture and the this culture and the that culture. And I just wanted to express them all, man. You know, I wanted the coolest clothes. I wanted the knit shirts with the zippers, you know, and the bell-bottom, you know, pants and the boots. I wanted the whole thing. So I was really into the form and the style, you know. Well, my dad, as you might expect, he was more of a function kind of guy. And since he was pretty much in charge of the money, on the first day of school every year, that first day, you know, when it was so important to let yourself, you know, to express yourself with your clothing and show how cool you are, I would be the kid who was dressed in sturdy jeans, you know, button-down shirt tucked in, hand-me-down belt and some old Oxfords. Can we say nerd together? Let's just all say it. Nerd, that's right. Yeah, for my dad, you know, function was the thing about clothes. Clothes were there to protect us from the elements, to preserve our health and our dignity, of course. And if there was any style to be had, if there was any self-expression to go on with our clothes, well, you know, that might happen, but it was not the top of his agenda. Well, today, this passage tells us a little bit about clothing. It tells us, you know, that we wear clothes, obviously. We all wear clothes. And we wear clothes for those reasons. They protect us from the elements and they preserve our health. And if we're lucky, you know, we get to express ourselves with the way that we dress. But there's also something about a spiritual outfit, our spiritual clothing, the spiritual clothing that we wear, the clothes that are made up not of material, but of our values, you know, our attitudes, our deepest beliefs. And they're expressed in the things that we say, the deeds that we do, the thoughts that we think. Paul really wants to tell us today, I think, that we need to pay attention to our spiritual clothing. That the clothing that we wear, our spiritual clothes, should be knit together with threads of grace. That they should be designed for us and tailored for us by the Holy Spirit. And that they should be made of love, God's love inside us. This spiritual clothing that God wants us to wear can only be put on from the inside out. And it ought to be the kind of clothing that expresses Christ. We should be wearing Jesus. Isn't that an awesome thought, to be wearing Jesus? Well, you know, we live in a culture today where style is really king, isn't it? Style is really king. And the style is edgy. Have you noticed that? If you look at television, you look at movies, you look at the news media, it's all about what is the most shocking, what is the most spectacular, what is the most kind of an affront to traditional values. It can be those things that most divide us. Those are the things that we fixate on in our culture around us. So we live in an edgy culture. If you've noticed, we're always being bombarded by this stuff, by the edgy stuff. But you know, I think that the culture that we live in and all of that stuff that we're surrounded with is not so much different than the culture that Paul lived in that first century, where he was trying to establish communities of faith and maintain communities of Christian faith among people who called themselves people of the way. They were people who were determined to live by Jesus' way, to live by his values, his attitudes, what's important to Jesus, and to do deeds that reflected that. Now, that was something that was outside of the general culture, and a lot of times the people in the general culture did not appreciate it at all. So the beginning of this part of this letter that Paul is writing today begins with him telling the people of the way, telling the people of the way that they ought to be very careful, careful to respect the laws of the city that they live in, to respect the civil authorities so that they don't attract attention to themselves and get themselves hurt, because there were people who really didn't like these Christians. But at the same time, he warns those people. He warns the people of the way not to go sliding into or adopting the values of that culture that was all around them. He said to be careful not to buy into those values and those attitudes and those beliefs that would draw them and tempt them into sin, into deeds of darkness, is the way Paul expresses it. Things that are just outside of the bounds of what God wants for us, the best that God wants for us. Things like adultery, he mentions, covetousness, where we're envious, where we're always trying to get what everybody else has. Things like harming other people, stealing from other people in one way or another, dishonoring other people. These are all things that Paul says they should shy away from. They're deeds of darkness. And in fact, they are like clothes of darkness. The clothes that we put on that are expressed in these deeds of darkness. Now, Paul warns against people being tempted to the edge of these kinds of behavior, but he also knows that a lot of times people don't need a whole lot of tempting. Is that right? We all have those things in our lives, those stories we could tell of, you know, I did that thing and I don't know why I did it. Where we didn't even need to be tempted all that much. We kind of saw the thing that we wanted to do and we knew we probably shouldn't do it, but we did it anyway. So sometimes we don't need to be tempted all that much, because the fact is we're kind of born with this tendency to sin. We're kind of born with this tendency to want to do those things that are against the will of God. We're kind of born with this wardrobe of darkness, and it's kind of hard to shed it. Well, Paul lets us know, and Jesus, of course, lets us know, that there is a way out of that. That there is a way out where we can take off those clothes of darkness and put on the armor of light, he says. Put on the clothes of light. Put on those clothes that are knit by threads of God's grace, that are tailored for us by the Holy Spirit, and that are made of his love. We can surrender ourselves to Jesus. We can surrender ourselves to him so that his Holy Spirit works in us and begins to throw out those old duds of darkness and bring in the clothes of light. We can do that, and we love to do that, and we want to do that. Is that right? But let's also be honest with each other. Even when we have decided that we want to follow the way, even when we have decided that we want to get rid of all of those clothes of darkness and we just want to follow Jesus, we just want to live the right way, we just want to wear those clothes of light, we still mix and match sometimes, don't we? Where we have those clothes of light, but we're also kind of holding back in the closet some of those clothes of darkness, and we slip them on once in a while. We slip them on when we start to get a little tempted, don't we? Men, listen. Women, you don't have to. Men, listen. Isn't it true that we put on the clothes of light and we really want to honor and respect women? But sometimes we have that little handkerchief of darkness that we pull out when we're tempted to go on those internet sites where we really shouldn't go, where there's nothing but dishonor for women, that feeds into a billion-dollar industry that perverts God's good gift of sexuality and ruins it for people. That goodness gracious binds young women and girls into sexual slavery. And we have that little hanky of darkness. We can't mix and match. Women, and I know men do this too, but I think women do this. We put on the clothes of light, wanting to uphold our families and our marriage and make them strong. Yet we have that little jacket of gossip with those sharp little sequins in it. And we pull it out when we feel like we really want to dish the dirt on our husband with all of our friends. Maybe down talk him a little bit, maybe tear him down a little bit, or worse, in front of the kids. Come on. We can't mix and match. We all feel like we want to put on those clothes of light when it comes to our respect for other races and other nations, other people, other political persuasions. But isn't it true that sometimes underneath that veneer of the clothes of light, we have that cruddy, crusty underwear of our bigotry and our prejudice that comes out in those crazy times? It kind of gets exposed sometimes, like some crazy superhero would pull open his shirt and show his true identity. We can't mix and match. If we want to be true to Christ, if we want to be true to Christ, if we want to wear Christ, we have to let him take over our wardrobe. Let him take it all away, all of the darkness away, and put on only those clothes of light, only those clothes that are sewn with those threads of his grace, made for us by the Holy Spirit, put on from the inside out, and made with his love. Made with his love. Because listen, here's the thing. If we're not loving the way that Jesus loves you and me, we're not wearing him. We're not putting on his clothes. We're mixing and we're matching. We cannot claim to love Jesus and not love all of the people he died for. And guess what? That means everybody. He died for everybody. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy in that first letter of Timothy, he says, God wants everyone to be safe and to come to a knowledge of the truth. He says, for God so loved the world, not some parts of the world, not some people in the world, but the whole world. God so loves the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him, and believes means follow, believes means turn over your life to, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But God, Jesus came not into this world to condemn the world, and neither are you or me in this world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus says, he commands, love others the way I've loved you. Jesus loves you and me enough to want to see us saved. Can we say that about everybody that we know in this world? About everybody that we even disagree with? Can we say that really about all of those people whom we really don't like their lifestyle? We really don't like the way that they live. Can we say we love them enough that we want them to be saved? Can we say it? If not, we're not living the way that Jesus wants us to live. We're not putting on his clothes. Come on now. Tell me, do you love that homosexual couple who you just do not disagree? You do not agree with their lifestyle. You don't want anything part of it. But do you love them enough to want to see them saved? Because God does. Do you love that white, everybody hears about white supremacists now. It seems like, you know, the news would let us think that they're everywhere. But look, do you love them? Do you love them? You may think that they're as wrong can be, and I can tell you I believe that there is nothing more antithetical to Christianity and to the church than racism. I hate it. But do we love them? Do we love those people enough to pray for them, to want them to be saved? Because God does. How about those Black Lives Matter radicals, those people that held up the traffic that time, you know, when you're driving down the 110 or whatever it was a year ago? How about the Antifa guys who were up there beating people in Berkeley? How about them? How about that Democrat? How about that Republican? How about that Trump supporter? Can you disagree with them and have nothing to do with what they believe, but love them? Love them enough to pray for them and want them to get saved. Can you do that? Because God does. Listen, we cannot claim to love Jesus and not love every single person that he died for, and that's everybody. Come on. Yes. 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 So we put on the clothing. Put on the clothing of Jesus. We put on Jesus. And the only way to do that is to love the way that he loves. Love the way that he loves. And listen, if we put on those clothing, if we put on the clothing of Christ, if we're putting on the clothing of Christ, hey, we're going to be protected. We're going to be protected from sin because he says, you can't dishonor people that you truly love. You can't dishonor God's children who you truly love. We're going to be preserved. We're going to preserve the good that God puts in us. Because listen, if we're loving our families, if we're loving our families, if we're loving our church, we're not going to let it go down. We're not going to let it be destroyed. We're not going to go down those roads if we really love. Huh? Yeah. We'll be protected, we'll be preserved, and we're going to be expressing in everything that we do, the values, the attitudes, the beliefs, the love of Jesus. Everywhere we go, in any situation, in any company, hello, in any company, wherever we are, we're going to be putting on the clothes of Christ. Patrick told me a story the other day of he was in New York. He was visiting his brother's church there. And this church had put up, in response to a lot of the things that have been going on these days, they put up a banner that said, "Hate has no home here. Hate has no home here." It's just a banner, you know. I can't think of a less controversial banner to put up on a church, right? I mean, it seems like that's a pretty good thing to dress your church with. Hate has no home here. But listen, that's a value. That's an attitude. That's a belief that comes straight from the love of God. And there are people out there who took offense at that. Hello. And you know what they did? In the darkness of night, they went and they put little clothing of darkness, a swastika, on their church doors. Hello? You believe it? Now, church came in the next day, They had a few choices to make, right? What are we going to do? Oh my gosh, we got this thing of darkness. It's like blazoned on our door. And it's, hey, that's an intimidating thing. That is an intimidating sign. That sign is powerful, yeah? And they're like, ah, what are we going to do? Wash it off? Are we going to replace the doors? Are we going to put up another sign that says, look at what these guys did to us? They didn't do any of those things. Instead, they took that and they clothed it in love instead. They took signs like these, like the ones you see around today, with verses, with slogans, with pictures expressing of the value of God, the love of God. They took those things. Plastered them all over that symbol of darkness. And they transformed it into a memorial, into a monument to love. Hello. Yeah, we all have that stuff in us. Oh, yeah. And we have those little pieces of that wardrobe, that old darkness. Sit back in the closets, up in the shelf. Maybe it's time to get rid of that. Maybe it's time to close those doors. Maybe it's time to really say, oh, Lord, 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 Lord. Dress me up from the inside out. Dress me up with your clothing. That's really knit together with those threads of grace. That's built just for me by the Holy Spirit. It's made of your love, oh, Lord. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, yes, oh Lord, oh yes, we tread in difficult times. We tread through dangerous waters, Lord. We live in a culture that is always wanting to tempt us towards hate, always wanting to tempt us towards sin. And Lord, we sometimes are all too willing to go along. But Lord, we just ask in you today, strengthen us. Fill us with your Spirit. Dress us in the glorious light of Jesus Christ. Dress us and make us new. In Jesus' name, amen.